carry that kind of weight. It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break in the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
I'm coming, y'all be. Good morning, GBF. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Are you ready to worship the Lord? Amen, I am too. If you're a guest with us here today, in your bulletin it says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." If you'll take a moment and fill that out, you can tear that portion off and put it in that little wood box by the double doors that you came in, and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. Well, today we have some special guests, and so Keith, you come up here, please, sir, and welcome your friends.
Good morning. This past summer, me and LaDonna had the opportunity to go to Roatan, Honduras on kind of a vacation, mini mission trip deal that wasn't organized, but God organized it for us. And we had the opportunity, and we just fell in love with the people there and the missionaries that we met there. And through all that, we had the opportunity to go back in November on a Jeff and Gloria Cohn, which are here and they're going to say a few words today. They invited us back to go on a short-term mission trip, so we went there back in November for our second trip, and God is really working over there, people. yet never been involved in foreign missionaries and what's going on in the rest of the world, if nothing else, pray for them. There's a lot going on over there. God's working, and they're going to be here today, and they're just going to share a few little things that is going on over there. They have a little slideshow, and they're going to speak. So I just want to introduce our great friend.
Thank you, Keith. As Keith mentioned, I'm Glory, and this is my husband, Jeff, and we are missionaries in Roatan, Honduras, which is in Central America. Lots of people aren't familiar with where it is, so actually it's just about a two-hour flight from here. We, similar to Keith and LaDonna, we went on a two-year delayed honeymoon, and while we were there, met some missionaries similar to them, and found out that they're actually from our own hometown. And while there, God just worked on our hearts, and we're like, we have to do more. And so, long story short, we've been there for 2 years now as full-time missionaries, but we are with Legacy Mission International, and our vision is to leave a legacy in Christ wherever we go. And we're doing that through our core strategies, which are trying to meet people's needs through church planting, discipleship, education, foster care. My eyes aren't that good, babe. I can't see it. Sorry, I didn't bring my readers. Advocacy and community development.
I'm usually behind the scenes and let her do all the talking. But so some of our values are that we develop social servant leadership. That's a big part of the church and with Legacy Missions. Discipleship and equipping new believers and mentoring them through their walk with Christ. To love and grow relationships, I mean, from people that literally just walk in off the street and some of the locals that we get to know through friends of friends, and just love on them and watching their faith grow and become firm believers in Christ. Education and empowering the needy. Education is such a big thing down there. The education system is just light years behind where we are in the States. And we've got missionaries that are in the schools every day that the schools are open, and short-term mission teams come in and serve right alongside them in the church, in the schools. Facilitating church planting and growth. We've already planted one church. Our home church there on the island has planted a church on the mainland, and we're helping support that church and to grow that church. We have two of our missionaries that are planting a church further down island from where we're at. It's an existing church that has just been kind of stagnant for a while, and since they've been involved with them, they've seen some growth in Christ with that church. and assisting the community development and furthering the kingdom of God. We're there just to love on that community and help in any way we can. Daily life and just mentoring and loving on them.
So in each of those things, our most important one, of course, is furthering the kingdom of teaching people about Jesus, because we know the best people to reach the community is their own people. So, we're just a lot of discipleship is our big key, but we meet each of those values through our ministries, which include a medical facility, New Life Clinic, our teens and interns. Interns are just a group of young people that they come anywhere from 1 month to 6 months and learn what it's like, what it's like to be a missionary and to love on other people. Our daughter, who just turned 20 while in Honduras, just spent 6 months there, and it has just so radically changed her life. But we support families in crisis relief. We have the church support and pastoral training. We have a Roatan Advocacy Center, which reaches out to women. There's so much domestic abuse, child trafficking, and we have a center that is just for these women that gives them counseling to help work through some of the traumas that they have experienced. We have education support, church planning, serve coffee, which we'll talk about a little bit more. That is our specialty. We planted a coffee shop there. And the Titus House, which is a transitional home for men who are in recovery.
The influence in education. So again, we're there in the public school system. Although the government says that religion is not allowed in the schools. The teachers, the principals, the students are all more than happy. Every school that we're in, we do Bible lessons with them. We're teaching English as second languages. Where some of our teams come in and they have people who are gifted in art, and there are scriptures painted all over every public school on that island that we serve in. And we just feel that is such a big part of it, is to educate and empower these young people and teach them to try to help them become the future leaders of the island based in Christ.
The influence in our women goes back to that the Roatan Advocacy Center that we spoke about, and they have been able to put thousands of dollars into education, into counseling, so that these children who are being abused, who see domestic abuse in their homes, we can teach them through the Advocacy Center that just because it's common to see these things doesn't mean that it's normal, and we just try and help break that cycle of abuse within the homes. And one of the ways we do it is through Celebration Place, which, if you're familiar with Celebrate Recovery, it's a Christian AA, basically. They also have this program for children to teach the children that, hey, just because you see this in your home doesn't mean it's normal. It doesn't mean it's okay, and we have a safe place for you. The majority of the island is in poverty. The average income is about $16 a day for a family, so we always feed them. The kids come every Wednesday. We feed them. We play games. We share the scripture with them. We teach them about the love of Jesus and that, hey, you don't have to be like what you're seeing, and just provide that safe place for them. Our personal favorite on the next slide is our influence with Serve Coffee. My husband and I, when we went to visit and we saw the abuse and the drug addiction and the alcoholism and what these women and children were going through, I told him, I said, I can't know this and not do something. Like, every one of us have a part to do. If you have Jesus living in your heart, then you are a missionary. Whether you're in Honduras or whether you're right here in HICO, you have an obligation to teach others about the love of Jesus. And we're like, how do we do that? How do we help these women, and how do we teach these men that there's something better? And it's through our coffee shop, and which seems kind of silly, but we have two women that work for us now. And, you know, just teaching them a life skill so that they can be productive, that they can bring in an income for their own family, when their husbands fail to. And it was really exciting because 2 days ago we were actually hiking the Grand Canyon, and one of our workers, she called and said, Miss Glory, Mr. Jimmy at this other restaurant, he wants me to make carrot cake for him, which we sell. She's like, what do I do? I said, make him carrot cake. Like, that's what we're like. We want to empower you. We want to see you have financial freedom so that you can also find freedom in Christ. And it was just beautiful. So, and then we have New Life Clinic, which is one of the other missionaries. It's a medical clinic, and they provide almost free. I mean, if you can't afford to pay, it's $8 for a doctor visit, but that includes the visit, the medications, all the things. And if they can't pay, they still get care. And that is not the case if you go to a regular doctor in Honduras. If one of our other workers, her brother was shot in the abdomen and in the arm, and they took him to the emergency room where he sat there in a wheelchair for 4 hours until somebody came to pay. And then once he was paid, then he was given care. So we're able to minister to people through their physical needs and give them medical care as they need. And then another one of my favorites, I'm a retired firefighter paramedic of 26 years, and Jeff has some law background. And we get to love on our firefighters and police officers, and we feed them meals every so often. And recently, we were able to bring in 11 sets of bunker gear and 14 pieces of hose for the fire department. And they have just gotten two new-to-them fire trucks, which their current truck was built in 1980. And so it doesn't really do a whole lot for them. So we get to love on them as well. And so these are just some pictures of our kids in celebration places. They're learning about Jesus Christ. I believe Keith and LaDonna have told you about one of our workers, Basti. If you'll go to the next slide. This is Basti's brother, Mateo. And y'all have helped support Mateo. He is 8 years old. He's had cancer for 2 years, and he's currently still in treatment. Y'all have helped provide Pampers for him because he had a stroke during some of his treatment, and y'all have helped him get medication, and he's just the sweetest boy. And that's what we do. We're helping get him well, and he potentially has the opportunity to come to St. Jude. So if you could be praying for that, that God would open the doors for Mateo to come to the States, and so that he can receive the medication that he needs. And you might know that guy. This was Keith on his last trip when he said, oh, we came to do a little bit of work. That is, I don't know how many hundreds of pounds of concrete we mixed by hand, but this is helping build a house for one of the employees of Legacy Center. Her and her husband have several children and just live in a small apartment, and we're helping them build their first home, and Keith was elbows deep in concrete helping with that, and it was hot. But that is who we are. That is who Legacy is, and we just want to thank you for just giving us a few minutes to tell you about who we are and what we do.
Thanks, Jill.
Thank you, man.
Awesome. That'll be great. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to leave this up there for. Would you hold on to that for me? You may be able to figure out how to turn that off real quick even. So, Jeff and Glory, thank you very much for sharing all that with us. What a great ministry. Keith's been telling me about the different things y'all have going on. Over. Now, let me ask you this. The island, is that Roatan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that is the island over there in Honduras. Yeah, okay. Awesome. And coffee is a big deal over there like it is here?
Very.
Okay. Nice. Nice. All right. Awesome. All right. Well, thank y'all very much for sharing with us. Let's take a few minutes now and go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our minds and our hearts to worship Him and to be a blessing to Him this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. That we have been able to hear about this ministry and hear about what you've been doing through this ministry. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to just give them divine wisdom and guidance and discernment as they're over there being witnesses for you and over there serving in your name and for your kingdom. And I pray your blessings on this ministry. I pray, Lord, that you would even bless them in 2025 in a way that they could never expect or imagine. And that we could see people continue to come to Christ through this ministry. Now, Lord, we are about to continue to sing praises to you, and my prayer is that as we sing these songs, we think about the words that we're singing, and that we literally offer these words back up to you as an offering to you this morning, and we pray that it would be a blessing to you as we worship you this morning. And Lord, as we get in your word this morning, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has set us free. And we thank you for the incredible sacrifice and love that we get to see and experience and have the privilege of sharing with others the love that you have for each of us through Christ. And we thank you and we praise you for his holy name today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean, singing high. Sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone, singing how marvelous, song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And when the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, it will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth the living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame? and ugliest is running my way. I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. So I'll sing out your praise. Alleluia. You buried my past, and I'm not going back. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't, he won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, so why would he fail now? He won't, he won't, he won't fail, he won't fail, he won't, he won't. Is my firm foundation. foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Rain came when boom, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Oh, rain came and went, blew. My house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through, 'cause I'm standing strong on you. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through, 'cause my house is built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. No, he won't.
Father, we thank you that that song is true. We fail every day, many times. We don't uphold your standard. But no matter what we do, you are steady. You never fail. You accomplish everything you set out to do. So God, I thank you for this church family where you have taught us example by example of how to watch for where you are working and join you. God, I thank you for this couple that's come today that was watching where you were working somewhere else. And they joined your work there. And what a blessing that has been to the people there, but to them as well. Thank you for revealing yourself in such a way, and I ask that you continue to do so. Don't let us be satisfied with the decision that we made in 2024, but help us to keep our eyes open to where you are working now. Father, we thank you for being the rock that we can stand on, that we can cling to, because we are unsteady, but you never fail, you never change. So we are here to glorify you, worship you, spend time with you this morning. And I pray that you'll remove all distractions now. Let us lay everything at your feet so that we can truly understand your word and how you mean for us to apply it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. You can turn in your Bibles this morning to Galatians 5. And Jeff, I forgot to ask, did you guys bring like any little cards or anything like that tells about your ministry? if you don't mind, when we're done, if you'll leave some of those back there in that corner table. It says Welcome Friends on it. It's got a red tablecloth on it back in that corner. That way our people can get some of those. I have a longtime friend that has a place in Roatan, and I'm not that familiar with it. But anyway, he's, as long as I've known him, probably 20-some years, he's been bringing children back to the United States, letting them have surgery and get healed up, and then taking them back to Roatan, if I'm saying that right. Anyway, thank y'all again for sharing, being here and sharing this morning. All right, Galatians chapter 5. This is a crucial passage. Verses 1 through 10 is crucial for understanding the book of Galatians. And since we haven't been in Galatians since August, we're going to go back and revisit this passage before we move on through this book. I've entitled the sermon For Freedom, Christ Has Set You Free. For Freedom, Christ Has Set You Free, and that'll be obvious why I've entitled it that here in a few moments. But again, this passage, in a sense, summarizes the book of Galatians, especially verses 1 through 5. And the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what truly sets a man free. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what truly sets you free in this life. All right, Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, it was for freedom. Take your pens, circle those, draw a box around those four words. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, or it was for freedom that Christ redeemed us. Therefore, keep standing firm in that freedom. Keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Circle that phrase, yoke of slavery. That's going to be important to us this morning. Verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, meaning for salvation, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, in other words, seeking to be justified by that, that he is now under obligation to keep the whole law. In other words, once you start relying on law-keeping, rule-keeping, then you obligate yourself to all of God's rules to be justified. Okay, verse 4. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love, meaning the love of God that is now in you because of the grace of God that's been applied to you through your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then Paul says this in verse 7. You were running well. You were running well when you were fueled by grace. So who's hindered you now from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from God who calls you. And be aware, a little leaven, just a little false teaching, can begin to permeate the whole person or even the church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. But I have confidence in you, Paul says, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you, the one who is misleading you, will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Okay, look back at verse 1 for a moment. Again, Paul says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to this yoke of slavery. Paul says that Jesus Christ set you free for the purpose of liberating you from having to obey the law to be in good standing with God, to be righteous. to be in right standing before God. In fact, the Greek here literally reads, "For freedom, Christ freed you." For freedom, Christ freed you. Well, freedom from what? That leads us to point number one in your notes if you're taking notes this morning. Christ has set us free from living under the slavery of guilt, guilt from failing to keep God's law perfectly, from fear, fear that I might not be able to keep my salvation, I might not be able to earn my salvation because I'm not good enough, from condemnation because of my sin, and death, death for having to pay for my own sins. Paul is saying that Christ has set us free from living under the slavery of all of those things because of our inability to keep God's law. Therefore, we put our faith in God's grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are set free from these things that came into our lives as a result of sin. And God's grace removes all these things from our lives when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Let me show you where the Bible teaches this. Look at 1 John 1:7 in your notes. If we walk in the light as God himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In other words, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're cleansed from all sin, past, present, and future. All sin is removed. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. And who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? The answer, God is faithful. In other words, all guilt is gone. It has been removed by the grace of God. And God is faithful, and he is the one who will sustain you until the end. Now look at Hebrews 13:6. So we say this with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. So all fear is gone. All fear has been removed. And then Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All condemnation has been removed. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. All condemnation has been removed. All sin and death are gone, removed, because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put another way, God by his grace did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Christ Jesus has freed us from the bondage of sin, guilt, fear, condemnation, and death, which are the results of our failure or lack of to keep God's law. Therefore, Paul warns the Galatians, verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, if you go back to relying once again on your own efforts to be justified with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you." And that begs the question, then why not just live any way I want to? I mean, if everything's covered by grace, if I believe in Jesus and everything's covered by grace, why not just live any way I choose? If I've been set free from having to obey God's law to be saved, then why not just live however I want to? I mean, isn't salvation through grace alone removing all incentive to live a godly life? Just the opposite. You see, it's the freedom from the fear of not being okay with God. And it's the grace of God, once you own that and you actually believe that and begin to understand that, it's the freedom from the fear of not being okay with God and not being able to keep up with all of his laws. And it's the grace of God that actually motivates and empowers the believer to walk in obedience to the Lord. Put another way, being set free is what motivates you to love God and live for God while His grace empowers you to do so. It's all a gift. Have you ever been given so much by someone that all you can think about is how you can give back? Have you ever experienced that in your life? That someone's given you so much in this life that you can't get it out of your brain. You have to figure out a way to love them back. You have to figure out a way to give back to them. See, that's why the Bible calls the gospel the good news of Jesus Christ. Because we've been set free. And that freedom that we now live in, it motivates us to love God, to thank God, and to live for God like never before. And then He gives us the grace that empowers us to do so. One commentator writes, "This freedom offers us a new lifestyle. Now we have the ability to live by the Spirit's power, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit's power. We're free to obey God and do His will joyfully. We can love and serve others in freedom. We're able to enter into the Lord's presence through prayer, experiencing a close personal relationship with Him. Before salvation, we couldn't take advantage of any of these benefits. We were slaves to sin, but now we can enjoy them to the fullest because Christ has set us free." And so Paul encourages the Galatians to stand firm in their newfound freedom in Christ and not allow themselves to be fooled by these Judaizers, by these false teachers, into returning to this law-keeping religion, which he calls a yoke of slavery. Now, in those days, the yoke around the neck of an animal forced that animal to obey its owner. And in much the same way, the yoke of legalism restricts an individual and forces him or her to abide by a strict list of rules to be pleasing to the master. Whereas God's grace is so freeing, it provides the believer with even more motivation and more power to walk with God in this intimate love relationship with Him, and not just obeying rules. Fernando, put up that picture. I sense the Lord leading me to use this morning. I told you I wouldn't show you any more pictures of my grandson, but while I was studying, I sensed the Holy Spirit leading me to use this. And you laugh. But according to the New Testament, you don't say the Holy Spirit's doing something when He's not, and vice versa, amen? And so, but anyway, now, because of God's grace, and because Jesus has redeemed us and paid the price for us, and now He empowers us to the point that we can rest like Milo is resting in the arms of his father. He knows he's protected. He doesn't really know he's protected, but he's asleep, right? Obviously, he's not fearful. He's protected. He's loved by a father that would do anything for him, that would give up his life for him. He's safe. He's at peace. He's able to rest. And my friends, what I want you to see, that's what Christ has done for us. That's what God has done for us through the sacrifice of His only Son. And once that enters your heart, and once you own it,
you'll never be the same. You'll be excited about living for God. You'll be excited about telling other people about Jesus Christ. And you'll be empowered to live for God like never before. God will take things in your life that you struggled with for years, and he'll take them away. And he will free you up so that being with your Heavenly Father is just the ultimate blessing. In fact, you can't go a day without doing it. You can't go a day without being there. Once the grace of God invades your life and invades your heart, it changes you forever. You're never ashamed of it again. My guess is that Milo's not going to grow up, regardless of what his friends think or say, and be ashamed of his dad. They're always going to have that blessed relationship with each other. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. So that we can rest in the arms of a loving Heavenly Father that loves us beyond our wildest dreams. And the first time that love hit me like never before was when I was in Missouri and I was watching Jake, and he was about 3 or 4 running around the den, and I was sitting on the couch. And it hit me. What if all my enemies showed up and wanted to take Jake away and beat him and kill him? There's no way that would happen. There's no way I would allow that to happen, but that's what God allowed to happen for you and I, so that we could be free. So don't ever let anybody drag you back into a list of rules that they make up for you, that you have to be, that you have to obey to be okay with God. In fact, run from that. That's what Paul's saying. Stand firm against it. And so Paul reminded the believers in Galatia, in Corinth, and in Philippi to stand firm, striving together with one mind for the faith of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 16, Philippians 1. And so Paul was warning them that if they didn't take a stand against these false teaching of this faith plus works equals salvation religion, let me say that again. Paul's reminding them, if you don't take a stand against this false teaching of faith plus works equals salvation, then you can lose your freedom. You can lose your freedom that Christ purchased for you with his own blood at the cross. And the moment you start, listen to this closely. The moment you start adding your performance, like circumcision in this case, in Galatians, the moment you start adding your performance to the performance of Christ for your salvation, then you must now keep all of God's law perfectly. You have now obligated yourself to bear that yoke. And we know, we all understand, that's impossible for any of us to do. Point number two. Number one, Christ has set you free from living under the slavery of guilt, fear, condemnation, and death. Number two, salvation is maintained by the grace and the power of God, not by the self-effort of the Christian. Amen? Listen to what I'm saying. Salvation is maintained. It is kept. Not by the self-effort of the Christian, but by the grace and power of God. Praise Jesus. The Bible teaches that when Christ died on the cross for you, he provided, listen to this, this is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, he provided a once-for-all sacrifice that resulted in eternal
redemption for the believer. So verses 2 through 4 remind us that we've been set free from having to perfectly obey the law of God to be okay with God, because we've trusted that our righteousness is eternally secure in Jesus Christ. Amen? But what does Paul mean in verse 4 where he says, you've been severed from Christ? You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Does this mean the true believer has lost his or her eternal life? No, it does not. Remember Hebrews 9, 11 through 12. But when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things to come, meaning the grace and the freedom under the new covenant that was to come, when Christ appeared as the high priest, he, Christ Jesus, entered through a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered into the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. I love what one commentator says. He said the Old Testament sacrifices were not permanent. They only had a one-year warranty. But Christ's sacrifice was eternal, and it obtained eternal redemption. Then what is Paul talking about? He's talking about separating oneself from the power and the grace of Christ that provides true freedom to the believer. Notice Paul didn't say they had fallen from salvation. Therefore, while you cannot lose your salvation, you can allow the freedom and the benefits of your salvation to slip through your hands if you don't guard it closely. In fact, John makes it clear that if someone turns from the faith, then they never really belonged to Christ in the first place. Look at what he says in 1 John 2:19. They were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Point number 3 this morning. Number 1, Christ has set us free from living under the slavery of guilt, fear, condemnation, and death. Number 2, salvation is maintained by the grace and power of God, not by the self-effort of the Christian. Number 3, when a believer returns to living by the law, they separate themselves from the lifestyle of freedom, or they separate themselves from the benefits offered to them by the grace and power of Christ. They haven't lost their eternal salvation. Listen, it's called eternal for a reason, right? And it was paid for once and for all at the cross. But they have fallen from this lifestyle of grace and this lifestyle of freedom and all the blessings that go along with that. They are now seeking to live the Christian life unaided by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, because now it's all being done in the flesh. Romans 11:6. But when operating under the new covenant of grace, the believer is then motivated, empowered, and upheld by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to live by the Spirit. That's what it means to be, for example, to worship God for, here's the difference between in the flesh and in the Spirit right here. Here's a couple examples, okay? To worship God for his own glory from a heart of love and a heart of gratitude is to live by the Spirit. Amen? But to worship God for your sake or to impress those around you is to live by the flesh. Make sense? In much the same way, to witness to another person while relying on the Holy Spirit to convict is living by the Spirit. But witnessing and hoping to impress people with your knowledge or convict them with your convincing arguments is to live by the flesh. Look at verses 5 through 10. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Now, there in the Bible, that phrase, the hope, means the assurance. It doesn't mean like what we think of hope. You know, I'm hoping it's going to snow, right? It means the assurance of. So, for we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the assurance of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love, meaning our lives are no longer distinguished by rules, but are distinguished by the love of Christ. And so Paul knows that if the Galatians once again try to add circumcision to grace for salvation, or they once again go back to try to keep obeying God's law and adding that to grace for salvation, they will once again be burdened by anxiety, guilt, discouragement, and the insecurity of never being sure if they're actually good enough to merit God's favor. And so Paul warns them, and he encourages them in verses 7 through 10. Listen, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from God who calls you. A little leaven leavens or permeates the whole lump of dough. But I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word. And Lord, man, there's been times, even though I've put my faith in Jesus Christ, that I still sometimes tend to want to go back to try to find my security in you because I'm doing the right things and not doing the wrong things. But today I just want to thank you and again for your grace. And I want to thank you for your sacrifice and how Jesus literally takes all of that away, all that guilt, all that shame, all the sin, all the worry, all the condemnation. It's all done. It's all over with. Because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So maybe you're here today or you're watching today and you want to do that same thing. You want to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to believe what the Bible says about how your sin separates you from God. And God, you sense God showing you right now your need to be saved. Your need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and die in your place for the payment of your sins. And so maybe today you'd like to quit trying to earn your way to heaven and accept God's free gift of eternal life by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the forgiveness of sins. If so, you might want to repeat a simple prayer somewhat like this after me. And it's very important that you understand these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart, that you're saying it to God and you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. And today I want to trust in you. I want to put my faith in you and your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. Today I confess to you that I'm a sinner in need of your mercy and your forgiveness. So today I'm asking for just that, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, the power to turn from my sins and the grace to submit to your authority. And Lord, I just ask you to forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life,
Forgive me for rejecting you all this time. And forgive me for buying into Satan's lie that I'm missing out if I follow you. I'm ready for the abundant life. I'm ready for the abundant life that the Bible says only you can provide. And I'm ready for you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And I'm ready to start living for you and allowing your word to abide in me, to make its home in me, so I can know the truth that sets men free. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt's going to lead us in our closing song here in a minute, and I'm going to be right here at the front, worshiping the Lord along with you. And maybe you prayed that prayer, asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior this morning. I'm going to invite you to come share that with me. Or maybe today you just want somebody to pray with you. I'd be more than happy to pray with you, and you can join me up here at the front. Matt, you go ahead and lead us, please, sir.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. You guys be seated for a moment. What a great God we serve. Amen. I mean, it's just amazing. It's truly amazing. Let me just make you aware of a few things. We have moved the welcome table back to that corner. It kind of seemed like it was always easier to get to back in the back, and so it's back over there. If you need to sign up for anything, journey groups, we're having some of those tonight. Senior adult lunch is at Lily's Tuesday. GBF 101 is on the 19th next Sunday. If you want to learn about what we believe and why we do it, what we do and how we do it and why we do it and all that kind of stuff, we talk about our salvation, we talk about our structure, we talk about our purpose. That's a 3-hour class from 4:30 to 7:30. We bring snacks, have a good time together. That's going to be on January 19th. You can sign up at that back table back there if you want to be part of that class. I teach that class right there in that kitchen area on Sunday evening. And then on that same night, Andrea will be having children's ministry training over there in the Summit Wing. And if you're ever interested in finding out about children's ministry, we always need volunteers for that. And so we have a great ministry, but it takes a lot of people to be involved in that. So if you're ever interested in being part of that, you can sign up for her ministry training or just go talk to her. Now, this is important. February 2nd, or in February, for the month of February, all journey groups are meeting on February 2nd. Now, you can change that and do your own thing if you don't need childcare. But if you need childcare, all journey groups are meeting on February 2nd. No journey groups are meeting the second Sunday, February 9th. In the month of February, okay? And then February 12th is we're going to start this new Bible study for men and women called Trusting God on the Path to Peace. The author of the book is actually going to be here and help me kick that off on February 12th. But then, and I need you to sign up back there, and some of you have, you've signed up, but you marked your name, meaning I want to be in it, but I don't need a book. Perfect. Thanks for doing that. But if you're going to be in it, sign up anyway, and then just mark your name out, and I'll know you want to be in it, but you don't need a book. But what I need to find out, I'm about to buy all these books, and I'm getting them at a discount from the author, but I need to know how many to buy. So if you want to be involved in that, sign up over there. And after that first meeting, we'll go back to the ladies meeting over here and the men meeting upstairs in City Hall, okay, on Wednesday night for that Bible study. And then we've got a very special Sunday coming up. February 16th is our 15-year anniversary and celebration, and we're going to have, that will involve a groundbreaking, short, sweet, but groundbreaking ceremony. We will go over there, and I'm going to give you directions over there so we don't line up on Highway 6 and make a real dangerous situation. You know what I'm saying? There's directions in and out both ways, okay? And it works real well if you go in the back way. But we're going to have a groundbreaking ceremony over there. But where, I mean, I wouldn't even dress like this. I'd wear just normal-looking Walmart jeans and hiking boots and that kind of deal. You know what I mean? You definitely don't want to wear high heels out there, okay? And so just dress like you would show up on a Wednesday night. Well, maybe not some of y'all, but. For most of y'all, I'm joking. Anyway, listen, I love y'all, and I love worshiping with y'all. I love getting together. I mean, it just builds for me all week long. You know what I mean? Till I get here on Sunday morning. I love you, and I love worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jeff and Glory, thank you again. You guys be sure and leave us a little bit of information on that table back there, if you will. Thank you, sir. All right. I love you guys. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and what a great blessing just to live in the freedom that Jesus Christ. It's an absolutely amazing grace that none of us can really fathom and won't be able to this side of heaven,
did it all for us while we were rebelling against you. And we just thank you and praise you for the grace and the love and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.